of breaking news to report to you. Breaking news is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. One is quick and it's for your schedule. The Bulls just announced the Derrick Rose retirement game. That will be January 24th against the Celtics. So if you want to see that Derrick Rose retirement game, that is when it happens, January 24th. This one is also very important. This is a statement from the law firm Winston and Strawn regarding Pat Fitzgerald and Northwestern reaching a settlement. Pete Thamel reported the terms of the settlement were not disclosed. He says, I have agreed to a settlement that resolves, and this is Pat Fitzgerald through Winston and Strawn, my breach of contract, defamation, and intentional infliction of emotional distress claims against Northwestern University and its president. For the past 2 years, I've engaged in a process of extensive fact and expert discovery, which showed that what I have known and said all along, that I had no knowledge of hazing ever occurring in the Northwestern football program and that I never directed or encouraged hazing in any way. Through discovery, I learned that some hazing did occur in the football program at Northwestern. I'm extremely disappointed that members of the team engaged in this behavior and that no one reported it to me, so I could have alerted Northwestern's athletic department and its administrators, stopped the inappropriate behavior, and taken every necessary step to protect Northwestern's student athletes. In July of 2023, when Northwestern first summarized to me the hazing conduct investigated by Maggie Hickey, I was eager to address the misconduct with the team and put it into any improper behavior just like I had in every other facet of my work during 17 years as Northwestern's head coach. The statement goes on, but the important part is this is a statement through Winston and Strawn, the law firm, from Pat Fitzgerald. Northwestern and Pat Fitzgerald have reached a settlement.
And Northwestern has its own statement. The important part of this is this portion I'm about to read. Northwestern's number one priority is the health and safety of all members of its community, including our student athletes. The university has taken action to ensure hazing will not occur again, including new training and additional steps for feedback and reporting. While the litigation brought to light highly inappropriate conduct in the football program and the harm it caused, the evidence uncovered during extensive discovery did not establish that any player reported hazing to Coach Fitzgerald or that Coach Fitzgerald condoned or directed any hazing. Moreover, when presented with the details of the conduct, he was incredibly upset and saddened by the negative impact this conduct had on players within the program. So that's the heart of it right there. Basically, through this, we see that there's no admission that Pat Fitzgerald actually directed or knew of any hazing while head coach at Northwestern.
The important part here, I think, is how the statements are both worded. We wanted to read those as to the letter as we could. There are two paragraphs that I read. There's more in his statement as well, that from Winston and Strawn, and then also Northwestern. So again, a settlement has been reached between Northwestern and Pat Fitzgerald, and hazing ultimately acknowledged, timing, however, mentioned in this for a very valid reason. So that is the latest, and that was the news that we had to report. And once again, January 24th for the Derrick Rose retirement game for the Bulls, if you want to get that ready, because the schedule is already out. Now, is it time for Five on It here on 670 The Score? Let's go.
Time for Five on. Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris bring you five topics on their minds today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I got five on. Number one.
What was your reaction when you heard Tyson Bagent talk about his contract extension at Hallis Hall on Wednesday?
You've talked about your family being so important to you.
What is this?
Money. For people beyond you in your household.
Yeah, I think that, you know, a lot of people don't know this, but, you know, my dad is my, he's my right-hand man, and he didn't even have running water until he was in high school, so there's definitely a lot of things that, and people that I could, that I think I could certainly help with this gift I've been blessed with. But yeah, just little things like that. Like, you know, I don't really know anybody back at home with any money. So yeah, it feels good. I mean, it's certainly a weight off my shoulders and my family's shoulders. And yeah, it definitely means a lot.
My first thought, Layla, was that pool where they had a pool party is getting an upgrade. And everybody, Tyson Bagent basically said, when I eat, everybody eats. I love it. The emotion and just the way that he looked back, you could tell he was introspectively going back in time to all the stuff his dad said along the way to get to this point where he's got a $10 million 2-year extension that could be worth $60 million.
How much like a movie has our show been today?
It's been crazy.
We talk about Kyle Tucker explaining why he wanted to be out there. Then we talk about the team. Then we have the aspect of the book that we just discussed with Seth Wickersham's book and Carl and Caleb Williams in the process. And then you hear Tyson Bagent talk about what a difference that money made to him. And that for me is it's a very big study that we've done in this show. I don't know how you listen to that and not be happy for him, especially when you consider the Bears have been on the same page about Tyson Bagent, I feel like, ever since, not just the beginning of this training camp, but also how they felt about him before. And I've said this as well. I think it was one of the best parts of Hard Knocks. You could tell that he would try to provide funny moments and a break and just lighten the room at times where I think it was appreciated. And also that's their storytelling. But the point is, it's all been consistent when you consider who he's been and how he has lived his life and how he got to this point in the NFL. And he also has worked incredibly hard to get here. So credit to Tyson Bagent. I appreciate the emotion that he showed. You can tell what this opportunity and this money can do for somebody. And I think that that's a big part of it. It's why people work so hard in so many different ways. And so thank you for sharing that with us, and congratulations on earning what you got. You earned it.
Number two.
Kyle Tucker is back in the Cubs lineup today. When is the next time you would have played him?
Not now. Not today. Our original question when we had this, when we started our show and our high-powered meeting here in the Galaxy Ballroom at Circa. We had this nice table. We've got Ray the engineer. We were all about this life. We came in. We got our laptops. And we're like, here's a look at the schedule. When would we play Kyle Tucker? And I'm like, oh, look at this 3-game series against the Angels. And while I know they're no cakewalk, they're a better cakewalk than previous series they've had, like the Brewers or the Blue Jays. So then they have this day off, and I'm like, all right, maybe the 26th. You know, that would be a few days. Turns out, no, I was wrong. A few days is two. He's playing today, second in the lineup.
And no definition is a few two. Few is usually three to whatever number you want to put. And
to several?
Yeah.
Wherever several kicks in.
I'm disappointed with this decision. Hopefully Kyle Tucker proves me wrong. But I would not have played Kyle Tucker this series, and I wouldn't have played him probably the first two games of the Angels series. So that's my answer. And the fact that he's in the lineup today, it's a bit confounding to me.
Number three.
Five on It continues here with Raheemian Harris at Circa Sports. And we're here in the Galaxy Ballroom, about to have an awesome time here in Las Vegas. Here's the third question. Is Matt Shaw the third baseman of the Cubs' future?
I think he was the third baseman of the Cubs' future the whole time. They just thought originally the third baseman of their more present future was probably Alex Bregman. Alex Bregman thought that his future was either going to be in Detroit or Boston. Does that got everybody square now?
Yeah, they were number three on the depth chart as far as we know. And there might have been a third team we don't know about that was above the Cubs.
Ah, yes. Mystery team?
Yes.
Mystery team often played by Giants?
Yeah, or Phillies. A lot of teams have had that mystery. I remember a mystery team going after Cliff Lee. Oh, same as the old team, the Phillies. Yeah, I remember that too.
How dare you?
No, I'm just telling you what happened. So, yeah, Matt Shaw is definitely the third baseman of the future. And if you had any doubts before now, hopefully those doubts have been cast aside as you've watched and witnessed him carry the Cubs offense at a time which, no, he can't carry it by himself. But whenever other people decide to step up, he's right there with that insurance run when you need it in the eighth inning of a big game against the team with the best record in baseball.
Marshall just leaned into our Twitch camera here because the setup is different. Yeah. We're not in the studio.
We have this one
camera. So Marshall just leans in and just looks at the camera and starts yelling with passion. This is very Stephen A. style. I think Matt Shaw has shown you that he, just like PCA before him, is being given the appropriate amount of time to learn who he is. His bat speed qualifies now on Baseball Savant. I'm very happy about that. I argue you have seen it now that he has hit 9 home runs recently since the All-Star break. I feel good about all of these things. And they're giving him the appropriate amount of time to trust him. Should he be in the lineup today? Meatball Rahimi says yes.
Well, forget about Meatball Rahimi. Just like the answer to the question is he the third baseman of the future? Well, clearly not the immediate future because he's not in the lineup today.
The Twitch mob is having fun with you. Get your kick 66s. Dude, you're all up in our face.
Listen, my bad. My bad. I apologize. I'm just happy to be here. All right.
Ray's putting bunny ears on you. It's great. We got two Rays today. This is the two Ray lineup.
Number four.
Since the Rahimi and Harris crew is here in Las Vegas at the beautiful Circa Resort and Casino, here is question number four. Will the Bears go over or under in their win total?
Now, what's the interesting thing about this, Layla?
Wait, let's show. I'm going to pan over here real quick. We got resources looking here. You see that? You see that right there?
Yeah, those
We're surrounded by all the resources we could possibly need.
Make sure that's readjusted, Ray. I appreciate you. I want to let the people know, here's how it stands at Circus Resort and Casino right now. Bears, 25-26 regular season wins. At plus 135, the over is 8.5. That means if you put down $100 for the Bears to win 9 games, you will win $135 back. Here's what's interesting. The under for 8.5 is minus 155.
Oof.
That means you have to bet $155 to get $100 back if you say the Bears are winning 8 games or less. What are you doing, Layla? Over or under?
I mean, I say over. I've been saying over. I'm the lunatic who said that they should have had 10 wins last year. And I will still say that in a fourth year of a regime, 10 years is not a ridiculous goal. Just like 70% of your completions is not a ridiculous goal to set. Are you disappointed because it's a lofty goal? Not necessarily, but it's a goal of mine. It's a goal. So I say over.
Over.
Shoot for the stars. You might, land on the moon? Isn't that the old saying?
Yeah. Although, do you want to be on the moon?
I have the
There's
under.
There's not a lot of air there.
I have the under in real life, but I have a hard time putting $155 down to win $100. That seems bad.
Okay.
So I'm going to go with the over on 8.5 in this scenario.
There's a lot of really aggressive bets like that sometimes, and I just always ask, what's really going on here?
I think a lot of people are taking the under on the Bears. That's what I think.
No, that, yes. But you know how sometimes there's like some whale who wants to do like a really aggressive under to prove a point money?
Yes.
You know the phrase like, don't let your money get mad? And that's just like letting your money get proud. That's just the flex for the hell of it.
I hope to have enough money one day where my money can get mad and or proud. Right now, my money just needs to stay safe.
Here's what we do. We start to follow anybody who's really interested in the Circa Grandissimo.
Yes.
And we wear our best clothes and stuff. Like, we look good. We do, like, the everything shower. We get our nails done. You do your hair. I'll do mine. And then we'll just, like, look cute and
see what
happens.
The fact that you just told me to get my hair done. You've jumped the shark. She told me to get my hair done.
No, it wasn't the nails for you.
No, I have nails. I've pretty good nails. I got to get a pedicure once a month.
That's a very layered joke for anybody who's really listening.
Number five.
Final question on 5 on it on 670 The Score with Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris live at Circa Resort and Casino. What's the deal with flight delays?
Your flight was scheduled to leave at what time yesterday?
My flight was scheduled to leave at 4:30, which is why I left transition like a jerk. But you know what? Our pilot friend Russ, who's always so kind and always visits us here at Circa, he and Elizabeth were here saying hi to us earlier. And I do like seeing everybody, especially when we've got the time to say hi. We've had listener Eric stop by as well, and he's got a Vegas shirt on. So thank you for doing that. Russ texted.
Meet.
Russ let us know. Not that Russ. Pilot Russ let us know. And he said, there's bumps over Iowa. There was bumpier over Iowa. And I was like, oh, is this our pilot friend? Indeed it was. And indeed he was correct. Did I get here one piece happily? You betcha. But they delayed a little bit because, frankly, they want to be more safe than sorry. Also a theme of the show today. And I applaud our aviation industry for doing so. I am more important than my time sometimes.
So
That didn't make sense when I said it out
loud. It's okay. Ray and I were on a flight later than your flight. It was scheduled to leave at 6:45. I don't know what time we actually left because
I kept texting you guys. I'm like, are you there yet? Are you there yet? Are you on the plane yet?
Are we on the plane yet is the question. So, yeah, flight delays are bad. That's what's the deal with them. They are bad, but they are a necessary evil.
Yes! Just like, say, maybe waiting until, I don't know, the 26th for your precious cargo to get there in one piece and be safe and happy. Sometimes you have to take the delay. You know what I mean?
I like my airplanes. Like,
Craig?
I like.
Craig!
I like my airplanes to be one place, and that's at the airport when I wake up in the morning. And the only way to do that is to get the early morning flight. I knew we were in trouble when we had that 6:45 flight. I knew what it was going to be and what it wasn't going to be. And in my current physical condition, it was not ideal. Ray was wincing as he watched me struggle to get in and out of wheelchairs and onto planes and taking a crutch from here to I don't know where to get on a plane. It was bad, Layla. It was really bad.
We changed gates 3 times, but it was like a game of like tag. Like, oh, no, go to K9.
H17.
Like, we went 3 different times between 2 gates.
See, I only had the 1 gate change, and yeah, they wanted to make sure the plane was okay. And then I sat next to really nice people on the plane, and then I got a lot of work done. I don't know. I was happy.
I got work done, too. Ray and I watched the Cubs and the post game for Cubs Brewers last night. We're hoping to see a 4th win in 5 games, and the Cubs only being 5 back with 34 to play. You do the math. You do the math as if that's going to be good enough to get it done.
Twitch mob is cracking me up. They're saying that corn sweat causes the bumps over Iowa. You could be completely serious right now, and I would believe you.
We would not know.
I would believe you. Also, it's a dry heat. We just got to say that again for the people.
I'm tired of the dry heat thing. All right. That wraps up 5 on it, right?
I am not. I like not having humidity sometimes. It mixes it up for me and my towels dry.
Okay. So 5 on it. We're good at that. We're good at the corn sweat. We're good at the corn.
No, corn sweat is eternal.
Oh, okay. We're not good at the corn sweat. That's just a thing that's going to happen.
We got farmers who listen. They'll let us know.
I do want to mention something before we go to break here. Ryan Sandberg, his funeral will be broadcast right here on 670 The Score. Tune in tomorrow at 10 a.m. for coverage of the funeral service. That coverage will be anchored by Mark Grody and Chuck Swirsky and will feature eulogy speeches from Bob Costas, members of the Sandberg family, remembering the life and the legacy of Rhino. That's tomorrow at 10 a.m. on The Score and the Odyssey app.
I do want to point out that I know that this has been a hard time for a lot of people, of course, and a lot of our listeners, and I think it was very important to us that we bring this to you in the best way possible. So that is taking place tomorrow. And thanks for everybody who has sent words of really grieving. You know, I know sometimes you can be mad, sad, happy, or glad. And thank you for sharing with us. And we hope that this is also something that I think a lot of people need as part of the process.
And that coverage will go at 10 a.m. on The Score on the Odyssey app, and immediately following that coverage, you will then get us, Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, for another edition of Rahimi and Harris, where hopefully we'll be talking about a 4 out of 5 series win for the Cubs over the Brewers.
We have more here to come on Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score as we get you ready for more Cubs baseball.
Kyle Tucker in the lineup, batting second.
That too. So we will do that next as we join you live from Galaxy Ballroom here at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
This is Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score as we get you ready for Cubs baseball. We're broadcasting live through The Score's Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers from the Galaxy Ballroom here at Circa Resort and Casino Las Vegas. We are here for football contest weekend. Circa Survivor, you know it well by now. The Circa Million, guaranteed payouts abound. And if you're really cool, Circa Grandissimo.
Grandissimo.
And in the meantime, we get you ready for Cubs baseball here on The Score, the 5th and final game against the Brewers. I've already paid Marshall his $1.
Yeah. Do you want to go double or nothing today?
No. Shota Imanaga's on the mound.
Kyle Tucker's in the lineup. Is that balance that out? Oh, so you're thinking about it.
I want to see Shota at home rock and roll.
Okay.
Like, that's what I want to see.
Well, all right. All right, that's fair. So you're with me. Is Craig Council with me?
That's a very good question. So thanks to our intrepid reporter, Bruce Levine, who brought us this audio. Here is Craig Counsell pregame.
What Kyle does, which I think most players do, is you put your head down and you go to work. And there's a game the next day, and you go try to win the game the next day, and you go try to go perform in the game the next day, and that's how you think about it. And he was things were going pretty well. Things were going very well, not pretty, very well. So that's how it went down.
Is that the kind of odd part about this one, that he did have almost 1,000 OPS for the rest of that June, and it took a while before maybe the remnants of maybe compensation?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're, like, we don't know. That's the best answer I can give you. I don't know. I don't know. I'm just kind of guessing. We're kind of guessing there. And so it's, it's happened before. You've seen it happen to players before, certainly. So it's reasonable to speculate, but we don't know.
Do you feel that disclosure of injuries is up to the individual rather than as a franchise or team to respond to changes in an injury that occur or information that changes?
I'm not sure how to answer that.
It wasn't a break, then it was.
Yeah, I mean, I think when the player is playing. He's playing. Like, there's lots of things that aren't disclosed as the players are playing. Yeah, I don't know. So I guess the answer would be no.
But the difference here might be that we've asked you and Jed about it numerous times, and so it's okay, he's fine.
But, well, I think that's because he was playing, and yeah, he was playing, and he was playing well. So again, we're still trying to figure. We don't know the answers completely, and he was playing well. You know. We made a decision together to keep playing. He was playing well and able to manage it and tolerate it, which is something that players have to do during the season. Not have to do, but choose to do because they can get through things.
There's no medical restriction around it anymore. It's just a matter of whether you think he belongs in the lineup or not.
No medical restriction.
He's in there today, and I know you said yesterday it would be, your thought was 2 days. Was there a conversation, or was it as simple as, yep, here's your 2 days, now you can get back in there?
Yeah, I mean, we talked before this, but it was 2 days, and then, hey, Kyle, you're playing tomorrow.
You know, you mentioned over the weekend, I think, you know, Casey has to pass the bar, I think you said, and it seems like he may have. How do you maximize his skill set to help you win games?
Yeah, I think, you know, we have a good problem in front of us now, and I would apply this to Willie Castro a little bit too, of like trying to find some guys at bats, and keep them involved and keep them productive. So it's going to be a challenge. That's what I'll tell you. I think Owen has had a good 3 days here. An impactful 3 days. He helped us win some baseball games. That's meaningful. It's still going to be a challenge to find spots for him to get in there. But it's my responsibility to do that. It's a puzzle we're going to have to put together.
That was manager Craig Counsell. Collected, you heard Bruce Levine's voice, of course, the host of Inside the Clubhouse, our reporter, doing work today before the Cubs' fifth and final game against the Brewers, that in a few minutes here on 670 The Score. And the one thing I can say about all of this is that at least when people have been asked to speak about it, they have spoken. We hear from Craig Counsell. We've heard from Kyle Tucker multiple times now. Is it the answer you want to hear? Not necessarily, but at least they're talking. And I think that is important in this, But unfortunately, I think it goes back to even what Mark Grody was saying with us, Marshall, on Monday. Nobody knows how to handle this. And I feel like that's still the case. Craig Counsell there told you, process of elimination, trying to figure this out in a way, going off of what Kyle Tucker is telling people is a lot of it.
The bad news here, Layla, is that the last thing we heard from Craig Counsell there in his pregame media availability was, still going to be a challenge. It's a puzzle we're going to have to put together. And he was talking about having now a surplus of bench guys who also need regular playing time to be able to stay in rhythm and contribute. And I understand that. And with Kyle Tucker, here's the issue. When you throw out a puzzle for a five-year-old, it's different than throwing out a 10,000-piece jigsaw puzzle. The baseball season is a 10,000-piece jigsaw puzzle. And while, yes, you may struggle with that part of the sky because all the blue looks the same and you got to figure out which pieces fit together, I think that's what the Cubs are going through right now. And that's not to say they won't be able to figure out the 10,000-piece jigsaw puzzle by the end of the season as they march into the playoffs. But the issue was they took way too long to figure out the one piece that was not the sky, where it was like, okay, that's part white, that's part blue. We could tell these pieces should fit together like this. And to understand what he said about, we've talked about this before, there's no medical restriction on Kyle Tucker. That's plain and simple what he just said. And he said he's fine, and we know he's fine because he was playing, and he was playing well. But then he stopped playing well. So the question I have, but should he have been playing? Because his argument, Craig Counsell's, is that Kyle Tucker says he's good to go. But the production does not say he's good to go. So what? At what point, you the manager, and then with your front office, your medical team, have the discussion with Kyle Tucker, or just the implementation that Kyle Tucker needs to take a break? I guess we just had that. It just went for shorter than we all thought it would.
Two days is not a few days. And the question that we've gotten a lot from listeners on all of our platforms and reaction is the same. That's a part of it for me because, you know, we joke about the text line having two different things at the same time. One entry will say this is great. The other one says this is terrible. But the consensus has been, why didn't he just go to the injured list? If you look at the numbers again, it's hard to say it didn't get worse when you look at the results on the field. Since July, batting 189, 4 extra base hits, and the ground ball rate, which is a huge piece of this, is 54%. It is okay to sit down. And that's where a manager has to take charge. And I understand the reward is massive when he's rocking and rolling. There's no doubt about that. We talked about the numbers even in June when he was hurt with his OPS being over 900. But in this case, what's the risk to your team? And unfortunately, we've seen too many times already, it's resulted in losses. Fans know what they're seeing. So it's a tough position to put a player in and for a player to put himself in, to say the very least. And it frankly makes me, I think, understand what Justin Steele did a little bit more in deciding to get a surgery when he knew he was hurt and wasn't doing himself right. Like that made me kind of look at this a little differently.
He made the decision himself, Justin Steele. What makes this so just intriguing is that it adds intrigue to game 5 between the Cubs and Brewers, because now you're going to be looking at it through a completely different lens than you would have if Kyle Tucker was not in the lineup. He is in the lineup, and therefore, win or lose, there's going to be so much more to say about this game because of Kyle Tucker's presence.
We're all watching the same thing.
Yes, and we're watching together. And guess what? We get to talk about it tomorrow.
And you're watching your dollars.
I hope to watch them add up. I tried to get another one out of you by getting you to go double or nothing on today's game, but you were not taking the bait.
Well, as I like to say, you know, the argument is motivation is today's, or what is it? It's momentum is today's starting pitcher, tomorrow's starting pitcher. But in this case, momentum is Shota Imanaga. Go out there and shove. Thanks for joining us here live from Circa. Thanks to Derek Stevens for stopping by. Thanks to Ray Diaz, Ray Regal, Robbie Triano, of course, Tyler Farringle. And thanks to our video team, Connor O'Donnell, Jacob Stutz, and Max Curtis. Thanks to you. Cubs baseball is next on The Score.